And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy. Just ready to talk some football.
Well, Shane, before we jump around the league, you know, we got quite a bit of news here for a Tuesday evening, so pretty good stuff for the listeners. But, you know, this is something we hit on in the last podcast. Monday was the deadline to declare for the 2019 NFL Draft. And I'm going to run down a list here, Shane. Alabama set an all-time school record. We touched on it before. 7 guys leaving.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most. Florida had 5. Georgia had 4. Ole Miss had 4. Texas A&M had 4. So quite a few guys here. Before we jump into maybe your thoughts on it, Shane, I just wanted to give you mine, my winners and losers. And this is more, you know, some of the guys like Devin White, we just kind of, it was an assumption he was going to leave. He did, in fact, declare, as we know now. I still would consider LSU a winner because while Greedy Williams left and Devin White left, they had a lot of guys return. I think some big-time playmakers. I've got Auburn as one of my biggest winners.
Yeah.
Thanks in part to those defensive linemen returning. Jarrett Stidham did leave, but that's another one that was to be expected. And well, I did. We both had to eat some crow with how well Stidham played there in the bowl game. I thought basically the rest of the season, he was just not that good. I think they're kind of going to be better off without him.
Yeah.
South Carolina, I think, was also a winner. And to a lesser extent, Vanderbilt, especially with Keyshawn Vaughn returning. On the flip side, Shane, we hit on that. Those high numbers, Alabama, I consider them a loser for this early deadline because obviously setting a record, but they lost a lot of guys that were, I don't want to say borderline prospects, but guys that I really thought could come back and help.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia, you know, losing so many offensive weapons. They're a loser in my mind. Ole Miss losing just basically all their playmakers. They're a huge loser. And then Texas A&M, I don't know if I want to say loser, but just losing a lot of pieces there, particularly All-American tight end and all SEC running back. So those are tough losses, but not to say they can't be overcome. Did you have any thoughts on all the guys that left early from the SEC?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on a lot of them. I thought Auburn had the biggest get. It would have been huge, absolutely crushing news if White would have came back. I think just because he's not just a defensive captain, he's a team leader. Mm-hmm. I think he would have got that locker room right. Not saying that the guys coming back won't, but I don't know. It just seems like they were kind of playing a little bit with a chip on their shoulder last year, and that all started from him. Mm-hmm. South Carolina, I'm with you. I mean, hell, your starting quarterback's coming back. Some think that he's not the guy, but you know he's proved that he can win. So I thought that was big. Now, did you mention Florida? Did you?
Well, Florida was a weird one for me, Shane, because they did have a high number of guys go.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them I thought potentially could improve their stock by coming back. But on the flip side, you know, while they had 5 guys leave early, I think they had about 6 or 7 guys decide to stay. So I didn't really want to call them a winner. I didn't really want to call them a loser. I think they're just kind of middle of the road. They had a lot of good news, a lot of bad news. So just wasn't really sure where to put them on this list. So I just, you know, it's kind of holding firm there with the Gators.
Yeah, and maybe that's why I'm a little higher on them, just because they had potential to lose more than Bama. You know, one point, I think there was like 8 or 9 guys thinking about going to the NFL. So the fact that he was able to retain a lot of them, especially like Wilson and stuff, I just think that, you know, that's going to help the defense. I think Florida's going to be in good shape. So I think just the fact that they could have lost a lot more and they retained what they did, I would consider them a winner. But as far as the losers, I'm with you, man. I think this list is perfect. Bama, I mean, they broke the record for Alabama, so you got to consider them a loser. And Texas A&M, man, just a few more pieces would have came back. I think they would have been even better shape next year. It's a shame that a lot of those guys went.
Yeah, particularly I think Travion Williams was definitely the better player by the end of the year. But I think I always recommend running backs to go pro to just maximize their potential earning at the NFL level. But I really think the loss of Jay Sternberger, the tight end, would be big for next year. Him coming back, I think he could have been more that centerpiece of the offense like Travion was. But
and he was Mon's safety blanket too. You know, I mean, There's a lot of checkdowns to him, so you can't just replace that. So. Even though he kind of did come in one year and made it happen, but it's rare what he did this season.
All right, Shane, that's all we got on that, but you ready to go around the league?
Let's do it.
Now let's go around the league. Around
the league. We hadn't decided how we're going to play the guys, so and I wouldn't tell you if I did. So, you know, I don't mind you asking a question, but I don't need to answer it.
I mean, I'll be whistling Rocky Top by the end of the week, all our play. I mean, it's just like, right? I mean, you just hear it over and over, and, you know, like every other or every third song, it'll roll through within the crowd noise that we play at practice, so you just get used to it. And it's a catchy tune, right? I mean,
this game's going to be a street fight. This game's going to be a street fight. I mean, some of you guys don't know who Kimbo Slice is. Hopefully you do. And you go back to it, man, this isn't a sanctioned fight. This is a street fight. I mean, this is the SEC, so, man, it's time. It's time to put on the hard hat, lunch pail, let's get to work.
All right, Shane, the biggest news of the week so far, in my opinion, Arkansas lands SMU graduate transfer Ben Hicks, and this is a huge pickup for the Razorbacks, Shane. I know I've seen some people kind of trashing this guy and saying, you know, he's – by no means was he an all-conference player in the I think it's called the AAC, but you know, I think on if you're just looking at it at face value, it's more than that. And first of all, from what I understand, that's actually not that bad of a league. I know people will probably mock that, but you know, you got like Houston and UCF and Memphis, and you know, there's some quality teams there, but that's besides the point. The point is Arkansas has got no one at quarterback that can run Chad Morris's system, and this guy's ran it for 2 years. He's the all-time leading passer in SMU history in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to enroll early in Fayetteville. He's going to be there for spring practice, and I'm not by no means am I expecting this guy to be an all-SEC player. He may not even get the start, but if he doesn't start, that means one of the guys on your roster legitimately beat someone out that knows the system like the back of his hand and has played college football at a high level. What are your thoughts, Shane, on the Razorbacks getting Ben Hicks from SMU?
Oh, I think it's big. I think this is something that's been in the works for a while, Mike. I mean, we talked about when Ty put his name in the portal that there may be some dealings going on behind the scenes and maybe some recruiting that he saw coming. So, I'm not surprised he joined. You know, I am surprised though, you know, talking about transfers, you know, did you touch on LaMichael Petway?
Not yet, Shane, you're jumping ahead, but that was my next thing. So junior receiver, LaMichael Petway, he did announce he was going to be a graduate transfer, Shane. He announced that on Tuesday afternoon. He has not yet earned his degree that I understand, but I think what he's just going to focus this final semester here is getting that degree and leaving Arkansas, so he'll be eligible wherever he goes next year. And, you know, I'm very surprised by this one, Shane, because this is a guy that didn't really contribute to the Razorbacks until Chad Morris got there. He had career highs last year, 30 catches, 499 yards receiving, 4 touchdowns, so not outstanding numbers, but obviously, the Razorbacks didn't have that great of an offense, so you would think in his second year into the system, since he thrived the first year, maybe he could have been one of the senior leaders of this team, but instead he's leaving. Arkansas's got a ton of young athletic receivers coming in, but I don't know. I just don't think you can throw those guys out in the SEC and expect them to have immediate results week in and week out. So this loss of Petway is pretty big in my opinion.
Yeah. poor Ben coming in. Now he ain't got nobody to throw to.
Right.
Do you think, I mean, other than, you know, some of these freshmen coming in, is there anybody that you see that's going to step up and maybe be that guy?
Yeah, Shane, I think that guy is going to have to be Michael Woods. He was a true freshman last year. He was originally committed to Chad Morris at SMU. This is one of the guys that obviously once Morris got the Arkansas job, you know, got him to come to Arkansas. But I think a lot of people had high hopes for what Michael Woods could do that freshman year. Only had 18 catches for 206 yards. But, you know, a lot of receivers go and make a huge leap their first year on campus to the second.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm trying to caution fans that these true freshmen are not likely not going to come in and just light the world on fire. I mean, it just takes time. So, you know, Arkansas's got some outstanding tight ends. Look for those guys to get involved. Michael Woods is going to have to be the go-to guy now. Petway gone. This is, you know, it's not devastating by any means. There's plenty of time they have to adjust, but just a big loss in my opinion.
Oh boy, it's going to get, it may be ugly, man. I'm trying to pull for Arkansas. I'm trying to get them back. But, you know, the thing is, when you have such a young team, mm-hmm. It can be exciting. There can be flashes. There can be certain games. You could see the potential of your team. But 98% of the time, Mike, it seems like these young teams just sit at the bottom of the SEC.
Well, yeah, and I just think that, you know, Arkansas fans, if they're, yeah, I'm sure no one wants to be patient. No one in the SEC wants to be patient. You got 2-3 years max. But while you may not see the full results till the end of the year, I think if you do see progress, I think if Mark Stoops has taught us nothing else, just stay with them as long as they continue to trend up. Mm-hmm. Because if you do that, if he gets his guys in there, gets his system implemented, good things can come.
Yeah.
All right, Shane, let's jump to Knoxville, talk some Tennessee football. I know you're excited about this bit of news, but T. Martin, you know, as reported by Chris Lowe, ESPN's Chris Lowe, T. Martin coming back to Knoxville. This is kind of a hire that's shrouded in mystery, Shane. It's kind of weird because Tennessee's got a full staff. They've got a full staff of 10 guys here. We don't know what position Martin is going to coach, but I guess aside from that, how excited are you to see T. Martin in Knoxville?
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm a huge T. Martin fan. I mean, hell, the last time we won a national championship, he was our quarterback, which was 20 years ago. and, you know, watching his boy win a national championship this year. So I love having him back. One thing about T. Martin is he's a heck of a recruiter. I don't think that's going to hurt us, him being on the road. In fact, I think he's going to really benefit this team. But like you said, you know, everybody was excited this morning, and then now we're asking questions, well, who's gone, you know, because mm-hmm. they got a full staff. So, you know, how nervous are some of these coaches pulling up to the parking lot this morning, tomorrow morning?
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to read between the lines here, Shane. You know, like everyone else, we saw this move coming. I actually received a little bit of intel. I knew this was coming about a day ago, but I don't know about you, Shane, but it seems, I don't want to say seedy is the right word, but it just seems to me like this is kind of unusual. I wonder if it has anything to do with the fact that maybe there's some recruits they're trying to win over mm-hmm. and they know they can't get them if they, you know, switch over the position coach. So you kind of hope that's not what's going on here. But I will say this, Shane, I've heard from pretty reliable people that Nick Saban interviewed T. Martin for a job. I do not believe it was offensive coordinator. From what I was told, they believe it was wide receivers coach. So I think word got back to Jeremy Pruitt and Philip Fulmer, and they knew we can't sit on our hands here. If we do not get this guy locked down, there's a chance we could be coaching against him. And that would be a terrible PR hit if T. Martin's coaching for Alabama when Tennessee could have had him, you know?
Absolutely. Well, you know, this name's been popping up for a long time. In fact, before Pruitt took this job, he was on a lot of people's short list. They, you know, bringing him in for a head coach, right. You know, so I don't know. You know, USC had a bad year last year. Yes. But, you know, they've prior to that, everywhere T's gone, they've been successful. So I think he's a good coach and a great recruiter. Mm-hmm. And like you said, if Saban's thinking about bringing him down there, you definitely want to get him as quick as you can. And I'm kind of curious how much this came off the Sarkisian, because you got to remember where Sarkisian was prior to Atlanta. He was out there at USC. So I'm mm-hmm. wondering if maybe during an interviewing process, maybe they were kind of grooming Sarkisian, see if he wanted the offensive coordinator spot. They come across T, and may, who knows? T, everything I'm hearing, T wanted to be back home. So maybe he made it, hey, okay, we'll talk about Steve, but you got to get me a spot. You know what I'm saying? So you never know what happens behind closed doors, but I'm just putting two and two together, and just glad to have him here.
Connecting those dots, Shane, I like it. I hadn't thought of that. But, you know, sticking with Tennessee, the other big news out of Knoxville, Shane, which may be T. Martin related, I don't know, but Juwan Jennings announced he will return for his senior season. I think that's really big for the Vols, Shane, because Juwan Jennings, you know, he started the season, was a little banged up, was not at 100%, but I think by midseason he had really come onto his own in the, with this new staff. I mean, he was, you know, by no means was he putting up huge numbers, but he was just doing the little things, Shane. If you go back and watch some of those games, the Auburn game and Georgia game, I mean, he is just like destroying people on blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see a lot of receivers giving that much effort on things like that. And I mean, he was making, he scored a touchdown against Auburn. He scored touchdowns in other games. So look for Juwan Jennings, in my opinion, Shane. If he can stay healthy for an entire year, he's going to be the number one option in Jim Chaney's offense next year. And without him, I think Tennessee's offense looks a lot different next season.
That's the truth, man. I think I love Juwan Jennings. He's one of my favorite players, if not the favorite player on this team. You know, the you go back, and I know everybody wants to talk about that Georgia Hail Mary, and but you know, that's just the kind of player he is. He is a tough, dominant player. Now, is he the fastest? No. Does he have the greatest hands? Absolutely not. But he's going to give 110%, and that's what you need, especially with some of these young receivers, just that dog mentality when he's out there on the field. And that's what I love about Juwan. And you're right. He wasn't himself last year. And the year before, he only played one game. You got to think, you know, this is the Juwan from 2 years ago that we're going to be seeing this coming season. So with a full offseason of training, able to work out, because, you know, he did dislocate his wrist. So he was out for 12 weeks with that. So, you know, this, I think a whole offseason of working out, we're going to see a totally new Juwan Jennings out here.
All right, Shane, let's jump to Tuscaloosa. We got some Alabama news here where, obviously, former receivers coach Josh Gattis, he's left the program. He's going to be Jim Harbaugh's offensive coordinator at Michigan. And I didn't know this until now. I don't want to plug him too much. I don't want to lose any of our audience here. But old Jim Harbaugh's got his own podcast, Shane. Did you have any idea?
I had no idea, man. I got to check that out.
Well, I think it's Jim Harbaugh and his dad or something. It's pretty weird, but it's them talking football. And on their latest episode, they had Josh Gattis on, and they just asked him about his decision to leave Alabama, decision to come up to Michigan, and this is some pretty revealing stuff. So we're going to jump to this segment. This is Josh Gattis talking about coming to Michigan and his final meeting with Nick Saban.
Were you surprised by the phone call that came in?
I was, considering the timing of it. Last week was just an emotional week. You know, it feels like we played the national championship game 2 years ago. That was last Monday. So coming off the national championship game, I had a few opportunities that, you know, a lot of teams were kind of calling to gauge interest. You know, it kind of caught me off guard because I wasn't looking to make a one-year stop anywhere. You know, you look at my track, I've been places for a long time. I was with James Franklin for 6 years. And then, you know, opportunities started presenting themselves, and I had some tough choices to make. Obviously, professionally and personally, one of my goals was to be an offensive coordinator. That's been a lifelong dream of mine, and, you know, I think that's something that the input that I've had and the fingerprint that I've been able to leave on a lot of programs has allowed me to continue to prepare myself to put me in this position. So when Coach Harbaugh called, it kind of caught me off guard because I was literally, the funny thing about it, I had just left the meeting with Nick Saban, getting my butt chewed out for about 20 minutes, telling him that I was leaving, and he was trying to keep me to stay. And so it did not go over well. So if there was any Band-Aid to the bruise or to what he left on me, it was that phone call, and it was exciting to hear his voice and to get a chance to talk to him personally.
All right, Shane, I mean, that was some pretty interesting stuff there. I mean, a lot of these coaches, they're very politically correct when they leave someplace, and I mean, to an extent here, Gattis was, but and if you listen to that full episode, you'll see he kind of goes on and on about how happy he is to be in Michigan, how his family's never been happier, how they just love working there and just being in that community. Mm-hmm. I mean, in addition to his comments there about Saban, I mean, this is, I think this is just kind of more damaging PR for Nick Saban and his program there, where coaches are glad to get out there. You know, he's saying he's getting his ass chewed out here by Saban for 20 minutes, and then he gets the phone call from Harbaugh, and then he's on his way to Ann Arbor. I mean, it's just not a good look, I don't think, for Alabama.
No, and that's the thing. In the past, it's always been a great, I don't know, like a coach rehabilitating station, you know, just going into Bama, you know, learn from the best, get out there, get your own program, or, you know, do what it's like. It's a great stepping stone. Mm-hmm. And it seems like more and more of these coaches are coming out and saying, I just couldn't deal with it. You know, this is one in a long line. So I don't know, man. Does this start taking a toll on recruiting? I mean, everybody knows that Bama's a NFL recruiting machine, but after a certain while, I mean, how are you going to commit to a coach that's in your living room knowing that he's not going to be there next year? You know, it seems like if Bama does take a step back, which they already have in the national championship, but if they lose a couple games next year, I don't know, man. Don't be surprised these wheels start coming off.
Yeah, and speaking of that, Shane, so it was not that long ago. I think it was about a week ago on one of our shows. We were asking, could Sam Pittman come to Alabama as an offensive line coach? Well, how about if you can't get Sam Pittman, Shane, how about Kyle Flood? If that name does not sound familiar, I don't blame any of our listeners. He was the former Rutgers coach. He was only there for like 2 or 3 years. He left because of a huge scandal. I think there was charges of him abusing players, charges of him paying players. I mean, it was all kinds of weirdness. I obviously didn't cover Rutgers football, but if you know, just Google Kyle Flood and scandal, and you'll see all about it. If you know, a week ago we're saying, can they get the best offensive line coach in the nation, and now we're saying, can they get this scandal guy? And well, I mean, maybe he had nothing to do with any of that, but he was Steve Sarkisian's offensive line coach with the Atlanta Falcons the last 2 years. So there is that connection, kind of like you were saying with T. Martin. So maybe they're just trying to make sure Sarkisian gets his system implemented there. But I don't know. That's just the fact that they're resorting to interviewing guys like this is just kind of it's also troubling. How about what do you think?
Mike, I'm reading something here, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I'm not seeing anything about line coach. I'm seeing that the Falcons made an additional coaching staff change to include new game management position. Those changes included Kyle Flood to take new position. Let's see, as a Kyle Flood. Where the fuck did I just read that? Basically, clock management. Falcons assistant Kyle Flood will handle clock management and replays. is this the same?
Wait, so he was not offensive line coach. He was game clock operator.
That's what I'm looking at right here. It says Falcons assistant Kyle Flood will handle clock management and replays. So this is Dan Quinn.
That's an important job there, Shane.
Maybe he got demoted to this because this article is 5 days old. So maybe he got demoted to clock management. And he said, see ya, I'm going to Bama to coach linemen, which probably one of the – I'm not going to say it's the easiest job because linemen are it's not an easy position. But with that talent, maybe that's what he said. The hell with that. I ain't going to look at the clock. I'm going to Bama.
Well, who needs Sam Pittman if you can get a clock manager, you know?
All right, exactly, man. I love it. I love it. And you know what? They're going to be giving him a trophy next year for the best lineman coach.
All right, Shade, let's jump to Baton Rouge. We already hit on this, but he had a little video, so I wanted to play it. This is pretty neat, but Devin White, he announces He's going to leave school early for the NFL. That's what most of us expected. Shane, I thought you had the best line possible. You said, you know, it would be like Peyton Manning of defense coming back. But, you know, unfortunately, I shouldn't say unfortunately. I think he made the right move. But unfortunately for LSU, Devin White will be gone. So let's play this clip, a joint video through LSU and Devin White announcing his declaration.
Greetings, Tiger Nation. It is with great honor and pride that I come to you to say thank you. Thank you for all that you have done for me in the past 3.5 years of my life. The opportunity to attend the flagship campus of this great state, play in the world-renowned stadium known to all as Death Valley, and to be a part of such a phenomenal community are sweet memories that I will cherish forever. Your unwavering support will never be forgotten, and I'm beyond grateful for having you all to stick by my side through the glory and trumpet of my collegiate career. As a small-town country boy from Spring Hill, Cullinan, Cotton Valley, Louisiana, dreaming to play in the NFL always seemed so far away. However, it was all God's plan to place the opportunity within arm's reach. And I've chosen to accept the challenge. I would like to thank God, my family, coaches, and teammates, mentors and close staff members that played a part in molding me into a humble, gracious young man. To Coach Les Miles and Coach Frank Wilson for offering me my first scholarship. To Dave Aranda, thank you for everything that you have done for me, especially helping me become LSU's first Buckeyes Award winner. To Coach O, thank you for caring about me much more than a player, but rather a son. Thank you for leading this team to a great season, building upon what you are capable of doing for this team in the near future. The support you have selflessly given me has been truly remarkable. After careful consideration and prayer, and various conversations with those who are close to me, I've decided to sacrifice the remainder of my college career and enter the 2019 NFL draft.
He just looks different.
He's the best linebacker in college football.
Looks like he belongs on the next level.
It will always be a mission of mine to represent Louisiana State University to the best of my ability. To the exceptional players who have came before me, thank you for paving the way for young athletes such as myself. To the players that will come after me, there is nothing in life that can't be reached without prayer, determination, and the will to get it done. Wearing purple and gold means so much to me, as well as playing on Saturday nights in Death Valley. And I will promise to continue to make each and every one of you proud in the next phase of my life. To whom much is given, much will be required. Although I'm sacrificed the remainder of my college career, I made a promise to my family and coaches that I would do whatever it takes to obtain my bachelor's degree from Louisiana State University and become the first college Division I graduate within my immediate family. Thank you, Tiger Nation. I am forever thankful. Forever LSU. Get live 40. God bless.
All right, Shane, so, you know, once again, the Peyton Manning of defense gone to the NFL. You know, that's going to be a tough loss, but I think, without a doubt, Devin White, he's probably going to be a top 10 pick. I think this is the move he had to make, don't you?
I do. I really do. And, you know, the fact that he took to the very last day to make this decision, I really think it was weighing on his mind. That, or he was creating the greatest video ever. You know, this was a good video, but I really think that Devin, I think he was torn, man. I think he really wanted to come back, and you know, but the position that he's in, he, mm-hmm. I mean, what does he have to gain? It's one of those that, you know, he really has everything to lose next year. So, I'm proud of him. He's done great down there, and one of my favorite defensive players, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing he would have came back for is to win an SEC title, a national title.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they don't do it, but they still have a great season, I mean, people would – it may even tarnish his legacy because they'll be like, well, he failed. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Just, I don't know. I hope no one would ever say that, but some fans probably would. I mean, I bet a lot of Alabama fans think they failed this year, and they kicked the shit out of everybody in the SEC, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, Shane, let's jump to Gainesville, where I just thought this was pretty clever. You know, we just did the podcast where I ranked my top 15 games for 2019, and I had Miami and Florida matchup in Orlando, just outside. I'm already regretting that decision, Shane. I should have kicked it in there. And this thing just keeps getting more and more heated. And it's, once again, this came, this was on Tuesday morning, Miami's official Twitter account. They're touting they had the number one pass defense in the nation, which they did, which, you know, credit them for that. But they tweeted that information out with a graphic, and then the caption they wrote was, "Oh, your team claims it's the real DBU? LOLK. So they're making fun of Florida, and then a Florida assistant, he's a GA by the name of Ryan Osborne, he responded, he said, "You right, no need to pass when Wisconsin ran for 333 yards in the Pinstripe Bowl." So he just, I mean, he just buried Miami on that one. And, man, this is already the 2019 season openers. There's not any huge epic games, but this is the one in the SEC I'm most excited about.
Yeah, this one's up there, man. I told you it's going to be up there because Miami's already chirping. This ain't the last time they're going to take a stab at Florida. You know, so I think this is going to be a great game. I don't think it's going to be a close one, Mike. You know, I really do. I do think Florida's going to steamroll Miami already, but I am looking forward to it, no doubt. Not as much as I'm looking forward to those new Gator Air Jordans. You see the pictures of those?
No.
I'm surprised old Dan didn't have those on today.
Actually, let's jump to Mizzou, where we got a bit of coaching news here. This is kind of interesting, but Barry Odom's brother, Brian Odom, he's the outside linebackers coach. He is leaving Missouri for a position on Oklahoma's coaching staff. It's not really much of a promotion either. It's just he's coaching linebackers for the Sooners. And I think a lot of people are going to look at that, Shane, and say, what the hell? He's Barry Odom's losing his brother. I mean, this is this is bad perception here. But I'm going to tell you why it's not necessarily, Shane. I think, obviously, Oklahoma, I think they're in a higher stature than Missouri presently. No, Missouri's a team that is definitely appears to be on the rise and popping up in a lot of preseason top 25 lists. So they should have a really good year next year. But Oklahoma is where the Odoms are from. That's where Brian Odom went to college. He went there. He was a running back at Oklahoma. And he's reuniting with a guy named Alex Grinch, Shane, who last year he was Ohio State's defensive coordinator, but previously he was at Washington State, and he was the defensive coordinator. And this Brian Odom worked for him at Washington State. He worked for Grinch, so he's going to go work for Grinch again. And I think at their previous stop, they had worked together. And these two just go way back. So you think you're leaving your brother, you know, Missouri, you kind of raise an eyebrow there. But when you get a chance to go home, you get a chance to go work for someone you worked a long time, a lot longer than he's actually worked with his brother.
Mm-hmm.
All in all, I don't think it's quite the perception hit that people will assume that it is.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, who wants to work with their brother, you know? I mean, I love my brother, but if he's telling me what to do every day, I don't want to work with him, you know what I'm saying? No offense, John, but I'm just saying. And not to mention, the longer you stick around with family, the stigma you have as a package deal. So if he made this move later than sooner, Brian's, you know, they're going to keep saying Brian is like Barry, you know what I'm saying? So he has an opportunity to make a name for himself, so I don't blame him at all, especially going back to his alma mater. So,
well, that's all the team news I have, Shane, but I did want to throw this one at you. So Rivals has updated their 2019 player rankings for the final time. You know, we're about a little over 2 weeks away from National Signing Day, so I wanted to give you this latest update here from Rivals, and they've, of course, they update this list after the All-American Bowl and the Under Armour All-Star Game.
Mm-hmm.
And why I thought this was kind of noteworthy, Shane, their top 10, I'm just going to do the top 10 here, but 8 of these guys, Shane, are headed to the SEC. So we'll start with the number one guy, according to Rivals, Derek Stingley. He's already signed with LSU. Many perceive him to be the best cornerback in the nation. You got number two overall, Nolan Smith, defensive end. He's already signed with Georgia. Number three, Trey Sanders, the running back already signed by Alabama. Number four, Shane, the guy we touched on last episode, Jadon Hazelwood, the Oklahoma commit. Number five, Antonio Alfondo, the defensive end who's already signed with Alabama. So Alabama's got two guys on here. Number six, Kayvon Thibodeau, the defensive end that signed with Oregon. Number seven, George Pickens, the Alabama receiver who's actually committed to Auburn, but he has not signed yet, so he's still available. But if he does not go to Auburn, Shane, he's probably going to go to Tennessee, LSU, and I think Florida and Georgia may be trying to get him as well. Number eight, Evan Neal, the Alabama signee. He's probably going to be their left tackle next year. Number nine, Zach Pickens, defensive end who's already signed with South Carolina. And number 10, DeMarvin Leal, Texas A&M defensive end. He's already signed with the Aggies. So it's pretty outstanding. I mean, every year we get these lists and more guys head to the SEC, eight of the top 10. I mean, that's just damn impressive.
Oh, brother, the rich get richer. You know what I'm saying? But it sucks at Clemson. I mean, you know, people are torn. You know, I'm one of those guys that always pulls for SEC because I love the SEC. But I love Tennessee. You know what I'm saying? Like, Tennessee is my team. And it just sucks that we blew the national championship because now it makes the whole conference seem weak. You know what I'm saying? Like, here Bama just stormed through everybody, and then they struggled with Clemson. I mean, big time. So,
right.
I don't know. I don't know why I went down that rabbit hole, but that's where I'm at.
Well, if you want to take it a step further, Shane, Clemson 3-0 against the SEC last season,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to face A&M at home. They'll face South Carolina next season, and they may see Alabama again in the playoffs. So the SEC is going to have three more cracks, most likely, at Clemson next year to make up for it.
Well, I will say this, Mike. They had a long time to rest between Texas A&M and Alabama. I mean, let's yeah. be completely honest. You know, you forget these guys have been beating up on each other. So maybe right. that has a little bit of something to do with it.
All right, Shane, final thing I've got here. We've got some updated Heisman odds via BetDSI. And I just want to do a couple here. Trevor Lawrence, of course, the Clemson quarterback, he is the favorite at 3-1. But right behind him, Tua, he's at 4-1. And I thought this was pretty interesting, Shane. Third best odds, Jalen Hurts. And they don't even know what school he's going to go to, but he's listed at 9-1.
Mm.
We got DeAndre Swift and Jake Fromm, both from Georgia, 12-1. But how about this, Shane? Justin Fields, Ohio State, 12-1. I don't know how they're getting that, and they never seen him play. But Jerry Jeudy, Alabama's outstanding tight end, receiver, he's also at 12-1. And the last SEC guy on the list, I think this will be surprising to you, Shane. Missouri quarterback Kelly Bryant, 25-1. Any of those stand out to you?
Kelly. I mean, they've got a pretty decent schedule next year. In fact, probably the easiest of all right. SEC teams. So that'd be a sneaky one to throw some money on. I still like Tua at 4-1. So, you know, you put $100 up, you win $400 if he wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct.
Yes, give me that one. I'll take that one.
I think the one I'm not saying this is going to happen, but the one with the best odds that I feel like is the best money, I like Jake Fromm there at 12-1, Shane. And not necessarily to say he's the nation's most outstanding player, but they always seem to give it to the quarterback of the best team, you know, more often than not. And I know that wasn't necessarily the case this year. It should have been Tua, but I think if Georgia just kind of goes undefeated and they finally find a way to, you know, slay Alabama in that SEC championship game or whoever it is, LSU, Auburn, whoever it could be, I think Jake Fromm is going to be a Heisman finalist. So at 12-1, I like those odds right there. And while he didn't have a great Sugar Bowl, I mean, that whole team was not, I don't know, I hate to use excuses, but let's say move away from the Sugar Bowl, that final 5-6 games, I mean, Jake Fromm was on fucking fire. So if he can carry that over to next year, I think he's going to have a hell of a season.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I like it.
All right, Shane, that's all I've got for this one. You got anything before we hop off here?
Yeah, buddy. Well, there's a couple things, Mike. TH, I see you out there on the Reddit page. We ain't forgot about you. We are going to do some mailbag questions, but we've moved it to Friday because today was actually a little bit busier than expected. So we will handle that question. But, Mike, I got some reviews, man. This one comes from D. Goodwin, 03. Love the show, 5-star. I really love these guys. They give really good insight into SEC topics and really love when they cover recruiting. I always love to start off my morning with a, hey, buddy, and cracking up in a cold one from old Shane. Keep up the good work, guys. Well, thank you, D. Goodwin.
Yeah, thank you.
And Mike, number 100. 100th review goes to C-Drum. And it's titled, Freaking Awesome, 5-star, most laid-back and thorough SEC podcast I've listened to. They will bring the info that most won't. Dudes are awesome. Keep it up, boys. So, C-Drum, you are the winner for the 100th, Mike.
Yeah, so just get your information to Shane or I, either one of us, either on Twitter or on the Reddit page or... if you want to maybe reach out to us and just give us your email, whatever, however you want to give us your information, reach out to us and you have a little prize coming your way.
Yeah, well, I appreciate all these guys and gals. This next one comes from Domingo Knows. Thanks for not sucking.
that's our nicest review ever, I think.
Yes, I think we should change our podcast name to that. Thanks for not sucking. So 5-star. There are a ton of college football podcasts out there with pretentious pricks for hosts. This ain't one of them. Love listening to these two banter, and even with the Tennessee preference, they still get to the other SEC program or give the other SEC programs justice. Great work here. Keep it going. P.S. NCAA rule is 5 years to play 4 seasons. Hashtag go Cox. So okay. That we were curious about that question. So I appreciate that, Domingo. and throwing in the big P word. You're sneaky, brother. You're sneaky. All right. Cali Gator, 34. Great work, fellas. As a Gator fan, 5-star. As a Gator fan in Cali, it's hard to get quality SEC Gator news. You guys do a great job of telling us how it is and give great info. Even the Vol fan is honest, so I appreciate it, fellas. I love Gator reviews. So, Cali Gator, I appreciate you. Mike, that's it, huh? That's it, man. I appreciate all of you jumping on there and helping us out. You know, you can always do that on iTunes. You know, and if you got the Android, we're on all kinds of things. Of course, you know, because you're listening. So we just appreciate you hanging out with us.
Yeah, we really do appreciate it, Shane. And I appreciate you for hopping on here, joining me for today. That's all I got. So I'll catch you on the next one.
All right. Oh, one last thing, Mike, before we go. Next Wednesday, a lot of people are asking about recruiting. Next Wednesday, Mike's going to do a deep dive into recruiting around the league. So we're going to touch on all the teams. So that will be next week. Wednesday is 2 weeks before National Signing Day.
Yeah, thanks for giving me some damn homework there, Shane.
And me, I'm just going to take it off and watch a little boob tube. So that's all I got, guys. See ya. Go Vols!